We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Ah, it feels pretty good to go into Thanksgiving weekend with a little Stevie Ray Vaughan. I'll tell you that right now. Governor Mike Parson coming up before too long. We'll await his call. I have a few things I want to go over. Kevin Wheeler at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the Rams settlement and a new pitcher for the Cardinals and whether Mizzou can close out the regular season with a victory against the Hogs. So all that and more, plus an audio cut of the day sponsored by The Sound Room a little later this evening. So I wanted to go over a few things here. I got a bunch of audio that I haven't gotten to. We do have an audio cut of the day sort of selected. It's Thanksgiving theme. But remember yesterday when we played this, Peter Ducey, this may have been cut of the day, I can't remember, but Peter Ducey asked Jen Psaki.
President ever apologized to the acquitted Kenosha shooter Kyle Rittenhouse for suggesting online and on TV that he is a white supremacist?
This is about a campaign video released last year that used President Trump's own words during a debate as he refused to condemn white supremacists and militia groups.
Yeah.
And
stop it, Jen. She tried to pivot on that, right?
Yeah. Well,
here's a better version of this with the answers. We've helped her out a little.
As he refused to condemn white supremacists and militia groups.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
As he refused to condemn white supremacists and militia groups.
Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
As he refused to condemn white supremacists and militia groups.
In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America.
They just lie about everything. And
the whole
Charlottesville thing has nagged me for years and years because everyone keeps repeating how he said that you had all these good people. And you heard in that cut, he separated that out. That was never true. The myth lives on to this day, not unlike hands up, don't shoot. But it's just utterly ridiculous. I think the answer is you're not going to get an apology. Now, Peter had to ask Jen, what's the Turkey Day plans?
What message does it send to the middle-class Americans President Biden says that he's trying to help, who are struggling this week to cover the cost of the most expensive Thanksgiving ever, that the president is going to take a few days off at a billionaire's compound in Nantucket?
Any increase in prices is something the president is concerned about. But I just want to be clear that there are abundance of turkeys available. They're about $1 more for a 20-pound bird, which is a huge bird if you're feeding a very big family. I don't know if you've cooked a turkey before, but a 20-pound turkey is a pretty big turkey. I think we can all agree. They're about $1 more. So not to minimize that, any increase in prices is something the president is concerned about.
So I don't care. I really don't care if Biden wants to go hang with a bunch of billionaires. I mean, he's the president of this country. The difference is, and this is what I think Peter Ducey is going for, when Trump does that, or if a Republican does that, if Bush does that, well, look at that. He's amongst the elite. The media would call him out. You're not going to see the CNNs of the world or anyone else call him out for that.
Nope.
Which, again, I'm fine with that. If there's consistency. The problem is, as we know, there is no consistency. I love this moment. Jennifer Granholm is the current energy secretary, former governor of Michigan. You would think she'd know the answer to this. Maybe.
How many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume per day?
I don't have that number in front of me, sir.
So some suggest it's about 18 million.
It's probably more of an art than a science. Projecting is subject to a lot of different volatility. But we're not saying that we're going to be supplying all oil for the country. We're just going to try to do what we can to temper.
She has no idea. She's talking about the release of the... the oil reserve. Here's John Kennedy down in Louisiana. We love him.
They're just trying to create a distraction. They know what the answer to this is. Go back to what we were doing in December of last year. Let America be energy independent. His reliance on foreign oil is causing gas prices to go through the roof. I think If many people won the lottery, the first thing they'd do is fill up their gas tanks. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, that might be a little exaggeration. However, it's in some cases doubled the price of filling up your car. This is interesting to me because Michael Hancock is the mayor of Denver, Colorado, where you'd think it was a year ago listening to him.
Denver, in alignment with our regional partners, will be issuing a public health order requiring masks in indoor settings for most businesses and venues. If they don't want to require masks, your businesses or venues can also implement a vaccine check. Many of our local businesses and venues are already doing this, and we applaud them for being proactive and keeping their customers and workers safe. I know it's disappointing that the decisions of some, again, mean additional restrictions on our vaccinated residents, and I certainly share in that disappointment because I know a lot of work has gone into getting us to where we are.
Yeah, well, where we are is the end of the pandemic, and we're going to have some spikes this winter. The hospitalizations, pretty much the hospitalizations are keeping right where they're going to be. And you got the mayor of Denver. Thank God. This is one thing, and Governor Parsons coming up here. I can't help you in Illinois, but we live in the land of freedom here, and we're just fine, aren't we? We're just fine here. I was with 300 people in a room the other night that did not have masks on. A super spreader event. It would have been called a super spreader event even probably 6 months ago, right? Everyone's fine. Maybe a couple people got COVID. They're fine. We're going to be fine. If you feel like you're not going to be fine, well, wear a damn mask then. If you're high risk, wear a mask. Quit telling everyone else that they have to wear a mask. How about Tom Brady? Will he be wearing a mask, Sue, you think, for Thanksgiving dinner? Tom Brady's he's kind of a health nut. You know that, right?
Oh,
except for tomorrow.
What are you actually eating at the Thanksgiving table?
Just like everyone else. Just like everyone else. You know, that's the one deal where I'm like, screw it, let's go for it.
That is on the SiriusXM Let's Go podcast that he does. He is going to do a normal Thanksgiving dinner. This is something very confusing. I'm just going to go through all these audio bits because I don't want to let... We're not here tomorrow and Friday, right?
You're right.
I can't let it linger. Have you heard about this thing? This is something that's going... We're so bored in this country,
apparently. Oh, the bricks!
Yeah, this is a video that's on Reddit. It's just falling bricks that has apparently, allegedly, I'm told, mesmerized the internet. It's like bricks falling like dominoes, and people are watching them, and... There must be a lot of THC involved in this, is my only guess.
It's interesting, because the audio isn't particularly appealing. It must be a visual.
Hey, it must be a visual thing. That's the best I can do. And then this is very confusing to me. I just mentioned THC, right? Let me tie it in here. There's a church in Oklahoma where they kicked this woman out. Ashley Antiverso was kicked out of the Redemption United Methodist Church in Oklahoma. Have you heard about this?
I have.
Because she brought... cilantro to the church. Coriander, right?
Yeah.
But they thought it was weed.
You have to leave now.
Y'all are people of God, and y'all are going to do that
to me? You're going to bring drugs in here?
No. That's the cilantro.
No.
That's for the food.
That's
for the menudo.
What? Like, they're saying if you're going to bring drugs in here, you can see or say that's for the menudo. That's for the Mexican soup, not the band. But...
Well, okay, but it's kind of sweet that they didn't know the difference, right? That's what I'm taking.
This happened a couple weeks ago in Oklahoma City. It went viral. I'm a little suspicious about this.
What?
Because what part makes you suspicious that it happened? Oh. I guess it happened because I haven't seen the video, all right? But I guess it did happen.
All you have to do is smell. Cilantro smells like cilantro and nothing else.
It does say that the church authorities issued a statement allowed Ashley to attend prayers from from next week? From next week or for next week? I don't know.
Probably for.
That is weird, though. I love it that piece. Weird. Listen to that.
You have to leave now.
Y'all are people of God, and y'all are going to do that
you're
to
gonna
me?
Bring, yeah. You're like, going to bring drugs.
God loves weed, all right? So just remember that. That is important. 516 97.1 FM Talk. We do have Kevin Wheeler a little bit later. We'll talk about the Rams and the Cardinals news, see if we can get in a little Mizzou football as well, and maybe some college basketball with SLU. I'm not talking Mizzou with Wheeler, not college basketball. I can guarantee that. Governor Mike Parson is back with me this afternoon. We haven't chatted in a little while. It's going to be good to catch up. Governor, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. I'm great. Looking forward to Thanksgiving weekend. Hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving.
Let's start with important questions on the Parson family Thanksgiving traditions. Anything special for tomorrow that you can point out?
No, it's pretty tradition. I think my favorite part is it finishes up with pecan pie, so I'm pretty good right there.
I have a lot of friends. I was at deer camp here a couple weeks ago, and they were into the pecan pie, but I'm more of an apple and pumpkin pie type of guy. But, you know, no discrimination.
If you was at a deer camp, you weren't worried about pecan pie. You boys worried about some other things you was indulging in, probably.
And we did pretty well that weekend. Do you get out in hunt, Governor, or not?
You know what? I don't. I just timing-wise, I don't, but... You know, on my farms, I got a lot of deer and turkey on all of them, but I just don't hunt much anymore. My son, he's a big bird hunter, but gosh, I just don't have time, it seems like.
That's weird. It's not like you have an important job or anything like that. Maybe in the future. Let's get to some important issues here. I haven't had a chance to chat with you in a while, so I appreciate your time this afternoon. Pretty big ruling yesterday on the county health orders from Shannon Robinson, who's been a regular guest on my show. What are the, because I think there's still a little confusion on what are the implications for that court ruling yesterday?
Yeah, I think we're still analyzing that with general counsel. I will tell you what I kind of believe it says right now. But again, I think we're all still trying to figure out exactly what it means and the way it was written. But what I would say it means that if you're not elected official, you're not going to be administering them orders as a independent agency. So I think what it's saying is if you are the health department, you're going to have to go through the process of a elected branch of government of some kind, of elected officials, to make a demand. That's what I believe it says.
I think it says that, too. I think part of the confusion right now is, like, does that mean that this would affect potentially masks in schools? And I think those are some of the questions that people have, and I guess maybe we're going to have to wait a little while.
I think so. I think to clarify that, and then what makes that a little more complicated, then you have a school board that's elected body. So where does that stand within that order? And I think those are some of the things that we all got to figure out. But I do think it was a substantial order saying, hey, what most of us have been saying all the time, you know, these mandates are not the best way to do business. And they sure are not the best way to do it right now.
Well, and on the on the federal vaccine mandates, I know that there was an executive order that was issued on that. Can you explain what happened there?
Yeah, I think on all angles. I mean, we're just trying to push back as any way and always possible against the Biden administration and really what they're doing. Number one, I think it's totally unconstitutional on just so many multiple levels. Whether you pick the number 100, what's the relevance of 100 other than you just pick the number to throw on the wall on the mandates there? Whether it's the OSHA ruling, which I think is way out of the boundaries of the Constitution. And I think these are the things you got to stand up and you got to fight for. And, you know, to make sure, you know, people have been on the front lines for 20 months and doing their jobs. I mean, when other people didn't want to go to work, be right honest about it, some of the CEOs, some of the administrators across this state didn't want to go to work. And they made that choice. But to all of a sudden start telling these people they're fired, getting rid of them because you're trying to say you're doing a federal mandate, I think it's wrong, and I think it's going to prove out to be wrong in the long run.
I think you're right about that. I want to talk a little bit about, because I think this is an important aspect and maybe a little under, you know, covered when it comes to the economy, that's the Open Roads Initiative. Because, look, you have a backed-up supply chain. One of the reasons is you can't get enough truck drivers. This is going to actually lower that CDL age. Isn't it one of the aspects of the Open Roads Initiative?
Yeah, we're just looking at all avenues, Mark. I mean, if we can lower that age and we can do it safely and figure out how we get more people out there on those drivers, and maybe one that's cutting down the time and take the process to get a CDL, you know, and to look at everything we possibly can to put on the table to how we move that supply chain. You know, we've been pretty fortunate in this state because we've kept things open all along, because we did the balanced approach. But we also know this has a domino effect, and it's going to be a trickle down. What's feeling maybe pretty tough out there on the West Coast eventually could get to us in this supply chain. So we're just really trying to get ahead of this here in our state.
Governor, what would you say about what happened with infrastructure and how, you know, I certainly don't have an understanding of how this works from Washington. You know, they dump a bunch of money into your account on a Friday, like when you get paid. But what's the expectation moving forward? Obviously, there's federal money that's going to come to the state and local governments. Anything that you would say about that moving forward?
Yeah, I think, one, everybody has to just realize that train has done left the station in D.C. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of money that's going to be coming to states. Type of money that most of us have never even seen before, and even in this capacity as governor that's coming down. I think the one thing we have to be is very disciplined, we have to be very conservative, and we have to look long term. I think those are the things that you have to look at. Everybody and their brother is going to want a special program or a goody two shoes program for something. Yeah. And I think what we really got to look at, what does this thing look like 10 years down the road after that money runs out? Can we build infrastructure with it that's long-lasting? Can we build, you know, buildings? Can we build broadband out? Can we do more on the workforce development pieces to give people an understanding it's okay if you don't go to college? It's okay if you go to this training center and learn some skills up to go out in the workforce? Those are the kind of things I think we've got to be very disciplined to do, and that's hard to do in this arena sometimes, but I'm going to be pushing for that.
I have spent a lot of time, Governor, on critical race theory on the show for, I think it's been a year and a half now, and there's been some interesting developments. The Missouri School Board Association pulled out of the National School Board Association after that letter that went out a few weeks ago. I'm guessing you support that.
Most certainly, and I was very complimentary of him doing that. I thought that was a great statement for our state. To be able to say from the state level, we don't support these radical leftist ideas on the national level. And, you know, that stuff's got to stop. And, I mean, people are starting to wake up to the idea, and I think we all know that looking across the country, how important local elections are. And we're seeing that firsthand over the last 20 months. But when it looks to school boards, when it looks to county races, when the city races, those elections matter. And we've got to really, and I think it's going to put us tremendous focus on that in the next election cycle.
Do I see that the governor and the first lady are about to head to Greece and Israel? Is that true?
We are. We're getting ready to go on a trade mission over to Israel, which we're really looking forward to it, with just a lot of things in the way I feel about Israel. But a lot of business ties to Israel here in the state of Missouri, especially in the St. Louis region. When you look at some of the aerospace, when you look at some of the computer, the financing, and for me, the agriculture side of it's really important that we're going to be able to visit with a lot of people about that. Director of Ag is going with me, but I think that's going to be a great opportunity. The one thing we know right now is we're seeing more and more people outside the United States and even in the United States are looking for the middle of the United States to bring their businesses, to make expansions, and really want a total change of lifestyle from where they've been on the East and the West Coast.
So I see a note here. I have to ask. I'm a little confused. You're going to Guns N' Hoses, or are you fighting in Guns N' Hoses tonight, Governor? It's a legitimate question, I think.
You know, it's been a long time since I had my butt whipped, but I don't want to go out there and just bring it on either. So I think I'll let the big boys settle that out tonight.
Do you try to go every year? It's a great event, isn't it?
You know what? I never have, you know, since I've been governor. You know, the COVID thing hit right off the bat. After that, in the first year, it was crazy. So I'm really looking forward to it. I just want them men and women to know how much I support them when it comes to law enforcement and firefighters, emergency personnel. Man, I just appreciate what they do every day and glad to be part of that family for a while in my career. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. You going to be out there tonight?
I'm not going to make it this time, but look, you what you said about first responders, they don't have, I think that overall the majority of people, they do love what they do for us, they respect it, and they honor them. But obviously we've had a period where first responders aren't always treated in the best manner, so that's why this is important tonight. Governor, have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, and really, I can't wait to hear a little bit more about the trip when you return in December.
Sounds good, Mark. Appreciate it. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You
Thanks.
Too. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Governor Mike Parson with us on 97.1 FM Talk. Have you ever boxed in a ring?
Are you kidding me? No.
Have you ever put the gloves on and just tried to hit? I've never done it, really, because, you know, you see people at the gyms doing it every once in a while. And
Michael says it's the best workout you will ever get.
Right.
He says it's just insane.
But this is a great event because the competitors, and he said men and women, because the women, they go at it, they train, they take this extremely seriously. So Ackerman told me that he's on, like, doing some TV coverage of it tonight with Chris Pronger.
Well, that's great. Amy Markscores is what, Team Blue, is she running? I think she is the chairman of that.
It's a great event, and obviously last year could not take place because of COVID, so they're back on track tonight.
That's awesome.
It's going to be awesome. We'll come back 5:26. Kevin Wheeler's going to join us, talk a little bit more about this $790 million settlement for the Rams leaving St. Louis. We'll also talk about a new pitcher, left-handed pitcher for the Cardinals, and are we seeing some action on some other stuff, Mizzou football, SLU basketball, all that and more, plus an audio cut of the day before the hour is up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I wish I was one of the lawyers in the Rams settlement suit. I wish I was just one of the clerks for the lawyers. They're going to split up. Just the lawyers are going to split up about $276 million, Kevin Wheeler. That's even bigger than a Powerball jackpot. How are you this afternoon? Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm good. Yeah, it kind of reminds us that we chose the wrong business, didn't we?
That is a look. I'm glad that this is something that went the way. Well, we've known that a long time ago. I'm glad this went the way of St. Louis. But I'm appreciative of people earning money for hard work. But that seems like a little too much considering what's being doled out. But look, that's the way the system works, right?
It is. But you know, and you also think about it. You know, so the number. You know, when you look at the number of what was like actually lost, it was considered around $500 million. So I don't think it's a coincidence that the settlement landed at about a spot where that what the city and everything would end up with.
Yeah, you're asking if the lawyers were working in their fees all along. I wonder if that's part of the deal. Some people, though, we've talked about this, Kevin, a couple of times throughout the afternoon. Cusimano was with me, and Jeff Rainford, who worked on this stadium deal, is very involved, would have been a witness in the trial. Some people think it was still a raw deal, $790 million. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, right? I mean, we want to see them suffer more because they all treated this city and this region horribly. You know, they did things in an underhanded way. And I think all of us would have loved to seen them dragged through court and seen Kroenke and Goodell and Jerry Jones, seen them all up on the witness stand and all of that. And I, Lord knows I would love that pound of flesh. But, you know, even if you win, there's a really good chance you could lose on appeal. And you know, that's going to drag it out another probably year. And then, you know, you're going to add on to that. Because if you lose on that appeal, I'm sure that the city would appeal that again. And you keep running it up the food chain. So, I mean, when you think about it, I agree completely with everybody that's kind of like at a loss. You wish it was more painful. You wish it was more putting these, you know, these details out publicly where they have to testify. But, I mean, you know, it's still a win, man.
Yeah, well, look, this, and we played a little audio from Dan Dierdorf, who was on Camo X earlier. This was never going to go to trial. There was too much on the line for this to go to trial, so they had to get as much out of the deal that they could, and $790 million is a pretty big figure. Now, the question, and this is what we talked about with Rainford, is where is the money going to be used outside of what the lawyers get? You know, the city, the county get money, and then the regional commission. So do you tear the dome down eventually, Kevin? Do you try to refurbish that for a final? Final Four or something like that? A lot of people are going to have a lot of decisions to make in the future on this money, too.
Yeah, those three entities, you know, they sent out the release today, and they're still figuring that part out, so we don't know exactly what it is. But some of it should go towards making the Dome and Convention Center more appealing, right?
Sure,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's how you're going to keep events coming in, right? If you want a Final Four, if you want – I forget just, like, big things that, you know, all of us talk about, right? Like a basketball Final Four, whatever. I mean, you can do all kinds of other things. I mean, the St. Louis Sports Commission brings in NCAA championship events in all sports, right? We had the U.S. Olympic gymnastics trials in town, right? So the more that that place is modernized, the more it does, you know, more it has all of the facilities that you need, the more likely it is that, you know, they'll be able to continue to make money off that facility.
So a lot of people, and I've seen a little reaction on this today, I never for 1 minute bought into this notion that there was an expansion team possibility. When you started hearing about how much money's involved, I guess you give a little pause thinking, wow, do they want out of this in a different way instead of writing a check? But that seemed to be a little ginned up more than it should have been in this process, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before, Mark. I mean, I outlined the whole time that how unlikely it was because of all the challenges, right? I mean, you think about the logistics of it, of finding a billionaire that's going to be willing to pay for the franchise. And then, obviously, you know, you got to take the time to build a stadium, and that's what the NFL would end up having to pay for, right, is, you know, $1 billion, $1.5 billion, $2 billion stadium. Well, as we can see now, I mean, that number was more than double what they were going to end up, you know, dealing with in a settlement. It was a good fantasy, and there were some legitimate people. And I believe that there were people in the NFL and people that were, you know, higher up in teams that might have speculated about that. I don't think any of the reporters that threw it out there were just making it up. But I don't think that, you know, the highest levels, the owners and then the top of the league, you know, Goodell and those guys, I don't think they ever looked at that as realistic. Because, look, I mean, again, one of the things we talked about, was it maybe a month ago, that 33 is an unwieldy number. You got 32 teams now. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And
right.
If you do this, then you got to do another one or another three. And, you know, it's just not logistically sound.
Let's talk a little hot stove, Kevin Wheeler. And I thought this was a nice little pre-Thanksgiving gift with Steven Matz. Not a name that most people would know, but this seems like a pretty solid pickup for the Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, he had a really good year for Toronto last year, and that's in the American League East with a couple of other teams in there that are really loaded. I mean, Tampa Bay, New York, and Boston are absolutely loaded on the offensive side. So the fact that he could post a 3.82 ERA, you know, in that setup with a designated hitter and all that, it's a pretty good year. But, you know, he fits the Cardinals, Mark, for a couple reasons. One, he's right at the sweet spot in age where they didn't have to go 7-8 years to get a big name guy done. You know, he's a guy that has a really high ground ball rate, which is perfect when you've got 5 Gold Glove winners and you're the team Gold Glove award. You know, so he fits what they want. The price is perfect. I mean, it's $11 million a year, and it'll only be more than that if he earns it with strong performance. So it's a good fit in a lot of ways. And, you know, it gives them some more stability, Mark. I mean, right now you're looking at a full 5-man rotation, and that's not counting, you know, Alex Reyes getting a chance to stretch out, or Jordan Hicks, or Woodruff, or Matthew Liberatore, their top prospects, being ready at some point down the road. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if they add another person that is a bit of a long reliever who can also start, that's got a little bit more big league time than some of the guys we saw last year.
So at Gould's story about this earlier today, he said this was the paragraph: the Cardinals have been in talks with multiple free agent starters and described by a rival team as clearly aggressive in their search for an addition to the rotation. What do you have any idea? So Steve Cohen, who's the owner of the Mets, tweets this out this morning: I'm not happy this morning. I've never seen such unprofessional behavior exhibited by a player's agent. I guess words and promises don't matter. Now, he was on the Mets, I think Matz was. Do you have any idea what the backstory is there?
Well, he's suggesting that Matz and the agent left open the possibility that they, not the possibility, essentially he's saying that they promised that, you know, that they would come back to the Mets before agreeing to anything else, like give them a chance.
Oh, so
to
sad.
Match or beat the
too
best
bad
offer.
So and, sad, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, look, come on. If you believe, if anybody believes the agent would make that as a guarantee in that kind of a setting, yeah, no way. I mean, he might have suggested that they would, but I guarantee you he didn't say, yes, absolutely, we'll give you a chance.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I like the aggressiveness. I mean, what's your take on the Scherzer talk at this point?
I mean, for the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
still, like, aren't people still holding out hope for Scherzer?
I mean, if they are, they're going to be waiting for a long time. He's going to make $35, $40 million a year. I mean, you know, at this point, look at if you look at the contract that Trevor Bauer signed last year, it was 2 years. Year one was $40 million. Year two was $45 million, and then there was a cheaper option for the third year that he would have turned down because it was just a low number just to say that it's there. And you know, Scherzer's better than Bauer was. He's been better for longer. Now he's older, but if you're only talking about a 2 year deal, I'd be shocked, Mark, if Scherzer signs for anything less than $35 million a year.
Yeah, why would he? That's why that talk doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. But then, you know, I saw Dave Klein press like on a tweet from Stroman today that said, you know, the future looks bright. That's certainly a name that they're allegedly looking at, right?
Yeah, they were in that mix, at least in terms of what was being reported, right? I mean, the national baseball writers, and I think Derek Gould's mentioned Stroman's name a couple of times, too, that, you know, he's fit. But I don't know that he's a fit in addition to what they have, unless they're thinking about trading somebody. I mean, that, you know, we never know how they're going to address anything like that. But, I mean, he's going to be $20 million a year. If you look at what other players are getting, right, if you look at, for example, Eduardo Rodriguez getting basically $14.5 million a year, well, Stroman's better than him, and Stroman's got a longer track record of being healthy and throwing close to 200 innings, and he's coming off a better launch year from this past season. I mean, I think Stroman's probably going to be looking at $85 to $100 million total dollars in his contract over a 4 or 5 year deal.
I want to talk a little Mizzou football. We're going to avoid Mizzou basketball. You can talk SLU basketball or Illinois basketball.
Why ever would you do that?
I'm just skipping Mizzou basketball. But, you know, now that they've put a couple together here and they beat Florida last weekend, they're bowl eligible. Arkansas is a pretty good team. They had a great start this year. I don't think they can beat Arkansas this weekend, but you never know, I suppose. These teams, these Missouri teams, especially under Barry Odom, have closed strong. Maybe you're seeing that again at work. Kevin, what do you think?
I hope so. You know, I think there have been a couple of games this year, Mark, that have been disappointing. But on the whole, it's not too far off of what was expected. I think the Tennessee game was the biggest disappointment.
Yes.
That was the game where you're like, you know, they should have had a chance, and they just got smoked.
Well, I was at that game, and it was, I think, 42 points in the first half. Well, I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. That's the biggest clunker. And they've had others. They've had other games, even if they won, that they didn't look good. But, you know, the thing to me that's difficult about all this is, year one for Eli Drinkwitz was COVID year, which impacted everything about what they did. It disrupted training. You know, the season started later than usual. You played only conference games, so you, like, had Alabama added to your schedule and all of that. And then year two, you know, they are starting to kind of get things settled. I don't know what to make of it when it comes to Drinkwitz, but I think he's doing a fine job. He's obviously won some recruiting battles, and that's a big deal. And, you know, I agree with you. I don't think they're going to beat Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas gave Alabama everything they could handle this past weekend. And that game was in Tuscaloosa, too. So, you know, I think that Arkansas is just a little bit higher at this point. But, yeah, I mean, being bowl eligible matters for them, especially considering year two for Drinkwitz. And, you know, most of what we've seen this year is probably what was expected. I think I said 7 wins would be a solid year. They may not get to that, but they're obviously already
in set. You know, in the end, you're right. It didn't. I think we were all worried. Certainly, I was a few weeks ago. Are they even going to beat Vanderbilt? And they were able to put some wins together. Obviously, maybe just one win earlier would have made for a little bit of a better season. But look, if they can round it out, I do think, and I think you would agree, that extra 2 weeks of practice for the bowl game that goes a long way in moving you toward next season, which I think is a pretty important season for Eli Drinkwitz.
I agree. I think he's still going to have all kinds of job security next year. But, you know, when you get to years 3 and 4, that's typically when you want to start seeing progress, like real progress, right? You know, you've had a couple of recruiting classes come in. Now, your first recruiting class will only be sophomores at that point. But still, year 3 is when you start to form judgments. Year 4 is when you probably take a little bit harder look at making sure everything's heading in the right direction. But you're definitely right about those extra weeks of practice. Those things are huge for the underclassmen, especially the group of guys that are going to be expected to step in and start next year if they're not starting now. So, you know, getting to that point is a very useful thing from a future standpoint, not just for getting to go to a bowl game and getting everybody an excuse to watch a game between now and New Year's.
Kevin, it is your first Thanksgiving as an old man. Happy 50th birthday, by the way. Did I miss it? It was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Well, happy big 5-0.
You know,
your daughter is now out of college, same age. You know, we had kids that were the same age. I had another baby at age 50. As you know, it's not too late, Wheeler.
It is. The window is closed.
These things can be reversed. They can be reversed. Hey, you have a great Thanksgiving, and say hi to Susan and the family, and I appreciate coming on here tonight.
Will do. You do the same thing with Becky and the fam.
All right, take care, Kevin. Kevin Wheeler with us tonight, 543 97.1 FM Talk. A legendary audio cut of the day from WKRP coming up. Sue, we're almost there. We've almost gotten to our holiday break. Just a few more minutes,
okay.
And we're gonna go out in style, I'll tell you that right now. You were asking me this question because I have a little WKRP for audio cut of the day. When was that turkey drop episode? Do you know?
1978.
Did you look it up?
October 30th, 1978.
You found it faster than I did. It was season one, episode 7, Turkeys Away. And it's just legendary. And I love that, you know, I believe it or not, I was, let's see, 1978, I was 13 years old. I probably, I don't want to say decided, but I wanted to be a disc jockey when I was 11 or 12 years old, even before I saw WKRP in Cincinnati.
Wow.
So I was fascinated with that show because of my interest in radio and because of Bailey. More Bailey than Jennifer.
I think that's
okay,
wise.
All right, right?
I think that's wise.
But I just love the show. And you've worked in radio for a long time, not too far from the truth in many ways, right?
No,
with
not.
Some of the characters that they had on that show. So let's just kind of go right into this because I look forward to it every year.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
No intro needed here. But the audio cut of the day is sponsored by The Sound Room, where you can find the triple-digit Sony 100-inch TV.
All right, fellow babies, and now it's time to go to our live remote man on the scene at the Pinedale Shopping Mall for the big WKRP turkey giveaway. So take it away, Les Nessman.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center, where the excitement is mounting.
I'm here with hundreds of people who have gathered to witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history. All we know for sure is that in a very few moments, there are going to be a lot of happy people out here. The crowd is curious, but well-behaved. And I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. From W. Ladies and gentlemen, what a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. The third. There's no parachutes yet.
I can't tell just yet what they are, but... Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car! Johnny, this is terrible.
The cars running around pushing each other? Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. For those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkey. Film at 11.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Mr. Carlson, just like every GM we've ever had, right? So I love it. 43 years later, it lives in infamy. And they say, I was looking a little during, that's why there was that gap in the audio, because I was searching my iPad. I apologize for that. It was in two clips. But I don't know the whole story behind that, but I find an article here that says that the creators said that the episode was based on a real Thanksgiving promotion at a shopping center in Atlanta. So my gosh. I don't know if there's truth to that, but that's a funny bit. It really is.
You can still go to Cincinnati. We were there just a couple years ago and stay in the they've turned it into a hotel, the building, or at least that they used for the outside shots for WKRP.
Right.
And if you go in the lobby, they'll have all the pictures of all the people and
nice.
The actors. It's a cool thing if you want to do it.
Well, I did love the show. And I don't know, can you, I'm sure you can stream it somewhere.
I'm sure you can.
I don't know where, but they have, if you just want to watch the tricky bit, it's up there on YouTube. Well, have a great Thanksgiving, everyone.
Hey.
I should also mention that even though we're off on Friday, I'll be out at Gravois Bluffs. Actually, all the stations out there this weekend taking some toy donations from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Gravois Bluffs, there's a Target right there. It's the Salvation Army Angel Tree Toy Drive. If you drop something off, an unwrapped new toy or a check, all donations benefiting the Salvation Army Angel Tree campaign. So maybe we'll see you on Saturday afternoon. Sue, enjoy your Thanksgiving weekend. We'll talk on Monday.
You too.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.